things get a little bit grim. But this is especially heinous.
Did you tell the police that she was murdered, May?
Nope.
Witchy ghost stuff.
Ah!
That made me scared.
A spooky girl amateur hour.
Hi.
Hello, neighbor.
Oh my god.
It's gonna get more and more obnoxious.
I like it. Let's do it.
Okay.
How are you?
Well, how are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Yeah.
Listen to us. Being good and well.
And stuff.
And stuff. Good. Just good and fine.
Just good and well and dandy and howdy ho neighbor.
Howdy ho. Hiddly hoo.
Oh my goodness.
Welcome to A Little Bit Grim.
Yeah, where we try to start out really lighthearted before it gets really bad.
Oh, isn't that nice of us?
It's kind.
It's honestly charity work.
We're doing the Lord's work.
The Dark Lord.
The Dark Lord. Let's not get it twisted.
I have just...
Says the Slytherin across the table from me.
Speaking of the Dark Lord, I have just started watching Lucifer.
I've never seen it.
It is so good.
Is it?
Oh my god. I just finished season one.
Okay.
And I know that there's like, it's like a pretty lengthy show. I think they're actually like still
making them?
Making it.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. So, but it's so good.
Okay. I give you to mid season two before you give up.
That's fair. That's fair.
I don't know of a show you've watched all the way through.
Jurassic Park.
That's not a show.
What is it?
It's a movie.
It's a film.
A film.
A film.
Have you seen all of the Jurassic Parks?
I don't think so.
No, I didn't think so either.
Okay.
Cool.
Awesome. Ian just gave me all sorts of hell earlier because he's like, have you ever seen The Waterboy? And I was in my head, I'm thinking like a milkman who like comes around and drops off water.
Yeah.
He was like, with Adam Sandler. I'm like, is that a fucking movie, bro?
And he was like, please, God, help me.
He's just so ashamed.
I have never seen The Waterboy either. So
go out there and tell him.
No, thank you.
Okay.
Pass.
He'll be mad about
it. I know. I like to avoid that.
If at all costs.
Yes.
Well, this is a folklore.
Yay!
I'm excited about this one.
Are you? When does this one come out? This has got to be like a mid-October, right?
I think it's October 3rd?
That sounds kind of right-ish. Hold on, I'm going to look. I just want to know where we are in the grand scheme of life. Oh, October 2nd.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
So it is officially spooky season.
It is officially spooky season. And it breaks my heart to say it, but my story is a little late because I do not have the wherewithal to coordinate our real-life timeline with the release date timeline and with the pagan holidays, which is what my folklore is about today.
Ooh, I'm excited. Teach me history.
Okay. It's more lore. Very light,
you know,
on the history.
You know, in our world, the lore and the history are intertwined.
Very true. What else is history if not lore? Yeah.
Yeah, it's how we get all of our urban legends, all the Be Careful in the Shadows. It's all of those, like, deeply rooted internal warnings came from our parents being like, you better not
do this
or this little guy is gonna come out and get you.
Slicey dicey.
Yeah.
I like that. Look out for the shadows.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that would have been a good podcast name.
Yeah. Yeah, would have. Watch out for our merch.
Yeah, that too.
I want a t-shirt that says, look out for the shadows.
I like it.
I like it too. Okay, so you'll be so proud of me. I listed my sources.
Wow.
And they're good ones.
Are they?
Yeah. Wikipedia is only second on the list. Oh. And it's for a very brief moment.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So the Boston Public Library.
Ooh.
Wikipedia. The Hedgewitch Book of Days, which if you, anybody out there in the universe is like dabbling or like thinking about, get the Hedgewitch Book of Days. It is amazing. assorted knowledge that like randomly floats around in my brain for no reason, doesn't awesome. Have a home. And a special shout out to Google Translate for helping me, because there's a section where it gets very Welsh.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And that is a language comprised entirely of
vowels,
consonants,
and vowels. Well,
there's mostly consonants. There is not one vowel.
Great. I knew it was one or the other.
Uh-huh. It makes my brain hurt. So.
You know who's Welsh?
Who?
Taryn Edgerton.
That sounds like a...
My love. My Rocket Man love.
A whale? Sounds like a whale. A Welsh. A Welshman. Whale.
A Welshman.
I think I like whale better. Because you're from
sounds
Wales.
Sounds like a whale.
Sounds like a whale.
I like it. That's not what he sounds like, I promise.
That's what whales sound like, Taylor. Okay. Calling all undeserving cave swine.
Oh.
Do you love apples?
Uh-huh.
And not starving? And yeah. succumbing to the darkness?
Yes.
Come celebrate the spicy magic of Maven. Oh. We were wrong. The sun is a lie. Let's return to the frigid emptiness from whence we came, for we never deserve to live in the light. But first... let's have a fuck feast on top of a cornucopia of apples while we, one, prepare to freeze and die.
Yeah.
And maybe rake leaves.
Okay.
Two, put way too many raisins and nutmeg in our food. And three, get horny while eating berries and remember that fruit is the carrier of the precious seed. Autumn 2020, the sun is gone. Let's eat squash and welcome death.
I saw something today that was like, is anybody else be concerned about the 2020 season finale? Just like, oh shit, man. Yes.
Well, I am now.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Like right now is honestly like when the writers put in a crazy plot twist that it is like a bet against time to see if we can wrap that shit up by the end of the season and make the producers pick you up again for the next season.
Do you remember in like 2008 when the writer's strike happened?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I feel like that the writers of the universe
went on strike. Oh.
And they called in some interns that's like, murder hornets, I don't fucking know.
Race riots.
Fire nados.
Oh, we want the writers back.
Bring the...
pay them what they deserve.
Sign the contract. Give in to the union, please, God.
My depression is real.
It's fucking so same.
Okay.
Hi. Welcome to Maven.
I love it.
Also known as fall. It's the season we are officially in right now.
The first leaf has fallen.
Oh,
and
dear.
I am in my actual best self. I will probably not wear jeans for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Leggings, long dresses, mm-hmm. sweatpants.
I spent... I'm unashamed to say this. $125 on Amazon. Strictly in cardigans.
Yes.
Just cardigans.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I got a fever for some cardigans.
I love it.
So that is the season right now in the Northern Hemisphere. And I can't... Listen, you're going to think I'm so stupid. I cannot remember if I've covered a pagan festival before. I don't... I have like false memories of doing Ostara.
Yeah.
Did I do that on the podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excellent. Cool. Fantastic.
Yep, that was your first folklore, I think.
Wow, yeah. That was many moons ago. Yeah, certainly don't remember that.
We were drunk.
Yes.
That's what happened.
The first couple episodes, we were very drunk.
Yeah, because we weren't recording until like 9 o'clock after dinner and drinks.
Well, and we were nervous about being on a microphone.
So we had to drown our anxieties in alcohol.
What a better way to not feel anxiety is to feel nothing at all.
If you started at the beginning and you're still here, thank you. You are the real MVP.
Number one fans. Our only fans. Okay. And he was so sidetracked. Okay, so if you listen to that episode, I'm sure I went over the Wheel of the Year. Let's like do like a brief Wheel of the Year refresher course. The pagan festivals are also referred to as Wiccan Sabbats. I am not Wiccan. Being a witch does not a Wiccan make. But I do generally, like, as I read this, refer to them as a Sabbat. Okay, so Wikipedia, the mother source of all knowledge, legally defines the Wheel of the Year as an annual cycle of festivals consisting of the year's chief solar events and the midpoints between them. So this means that there's a pagan festival every 6 to 8 weeks or so, which is much better than weird bank holiday clusters, and I encourage all HR departments to go ahead and implement the Wheel of the Year as PTO days. Chief solar events is fancy college talk for the start of the season. So chiefly the winter solstice, which is Yule, which is the most hedonistic, wild, and violent, like, holiday of them all. The vernal equinox, or Ostara. The summer solstice, which is Litha, and the autumnal equinox, which is Maven.
Our fave.
Our freaking, I mean, Yule is my fave.
Yeah.
But I'm a winter soul. Okay, so that's what I'm going to talk about right now. It's the last festival before the witch's new year, Samhain, which is Halloween. You should all already know this. Maven is the second of three harvest festivals, the first being the midpoint Lunessa, which is celebrated on August 1st, and the final being Samhain. Maven is also frequently called the mid-harvest festival or the second harvest. As with all pagan festivals, there are several cultures who have celebrated the same ideas in different ways. In the 1700s, Bavarians, which is now a part of Germany, began celebrating a festival the last week of September with beer and harvest foods, and they still celebrate it today. It's known as Oktoberfest.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Ah, a little bit of granule of knowledge sprinkled in there.
Ooh, I love that. Teach me things.
Most cultures see the second harvest Sabbat as a time for giving thanks. This time of year is when farmers know how well their summer crops have fared and how well fed their animals have become. And this determines if you will have enough food for you and your family to survive.
If you get to live or not.
If you get to live or die. So I hope you got some rain. This is why these ancient people have all used this time, like harvest time, as a way of giving thanks for all of their gods, providing them with the sustenance they need to survive winter. Is this where we get Thanksgiving in America? I'm so glad you asked. Yes, it is.
Great.
The original Thanksgiving was celebrated closer to October 3rd, which makes a little more sense in regards to the harvest theme than in the end of November, because the ship has kind of sailed for like a solid harvest by then.
Uh-huh.
The Holly King will have already killed the vegetation in a typical Northern Hemisphere climate. And we cannot forget that the ever-waging war between the Holly King and the Oak King is still happening in the background. The Holly King has been holding the upper hand and will continue to until Yule, when the Oak King will regain his power when the promise of light returns to us and the days start to become longer again.
Aha.
So let's briefly talk about Maben the dude, not Maben the day. Maben is a prominent figure in Welsh mythology and ancient literature. He is the son of Modron and a member of King Arthur's war band. Modron and Maben.
Wait, is that the same as the Knights of the Round Table?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Modron and Maven probably both derive from earlier divine figures. In Modron's case, it's most commonly believed that she is the derivative of a Gaulish goddess, Matrona, or the Great Mother, or Inanna, which I briefly talked about in the Lilith episode. She is believed to be the prototype for Morgan Le Fay.
Aha!
Uh-huh, who is a powerful enchantress in Arthurian legend. Her character is not elaborated further than being a goddess, fae, witch, or sorceress who is generally benevolent, but is, like, regarded with a very specific type of, like, moral ambiguance.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't care.
It really depends on what kind of entertainment you're ingesting, what Morgan Le Fay is and what she does.
Yeah.
Each different tale has its own spin on her.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched Merlin as a child. Uh-huh. And I think she was good in that. I can't remember for sure. But then I read something recently that was like, Morgan Le Fay, the queen of the evil. And I was like, Wait a second, what?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah.
Well, she's a witch, so people like to make her out to be terrible.
Right.
So.
Easy to do.
So I am going to tell a tale.
Please do.
And to make a very Welsh and very long and very difficult to pronounce story short. A king loses his wife in childbirth, and when it is time for him to remarry, his stepmother tries to hook him up with his stepsister. Ew. The king says no, but his stepmother places a curse on him so he cannot marry anybody else besides his stepsister, Olwen, which is the only name in the story I can pronounce.
Hmm.
He's never seen her, but becomes deeply infatuated with her and seeks her out. He realizes he won't ever find her without the aid of his cousin, King Arthur, who is chilling at his castle, Selawig, in Cornwall. Six knights and the king and Arthur set out and find a beautiful castle with a shepherd living in it. The shepherd's brother owns the castle and killed the shepherd's 23 children just to be a dick.
Oh my God.
Right.
Oh, okay. That's extreme.
Just to be a dick.
We didn't have to do that. Bro, we didn't have to go that hard.
For your nieces and nephews, dude. Like,
Hey, an Arthurian serial killer.
Oh, I love. Ooh,
we need a story.
On brand. Well, I'm about to tell you.
Oh, great.
Because the knights agreed to help the shepherd out because the shepherd agreed to set up a meeting between the king and Olwen. The knights attack the Dick brothers' castle and ends up killing... I kid... His name... I didn't even type it. It was gibberish. So they killed Dick brothers' nine, like, servants and nine dogs. And so Dick brother surrenders. Turns out Olwen... is, like, Dick Brothers is, like, stepdaughter, twice removed, blah,
related
blah,
somehow, some way.
Somehow, some way.
All right.
So he was like, okay, fine. You can have her, because women are property and not people. Let's not forget.
Right.
If the king completes a series of impossible tasks, one of which is to rescue Mabon, who is the only man who can hunt a dog called Dridwin. Who is the only dog who can track Twitch, which it's literally spelled T-W-R-C-H-T-R-W-Y-C-H. Twitch, an enchanted wild boar. Yes, I'm serious. Okay. You gotta find the dude who's the only one who can track a dog, who's the only one who can track some magical pig running around in Cornwall.
That sounds like me trying to talk to my IT team.
I honestly, yes. They are the trich. it's so hard. Okay. So after Arthur the king and the assorted knights learned that Mabon was stolen from his mother when he was 3 days old. So they're running around and ask the oldest and wisest animals they could track down to figure out where the hell he is. Then they run into the oldest and wisest animal of them all, Luinlu.
I'm very happy that you tried with these.
This is after Google Translate.
Oh.
I still can't. L-L-Y-N-L-L-Y-W. Rinru. Which is a giant magical... It's a giant magical salmon.
A salmon? Stop.
That carries the group of men on its back down a river to Gloucester, where Mabon is being held prisoner. They attack another castle because that's all these guys ever freaking do, and they get him back. And yes, that is a very abridged version of the rescue of Mabon.
Amazing.
Okay, so back to the holiday. Another interpretation of this sabbat returns us to Taylor's folklore episode about Persephone, which is called You Gotta Believe the Vatican.
Accurate. Still true.
Still, you gotta believe them because you have no other option.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to revisit that now just for a second in case you missed it. But if you have, you shouldn't because it's a really good episode. So Demeter and Zeus have a daughter named Persephone. Hades steals her to make him his wife. Women are property, not people. Again, don't forget. Demeter, who's a mother goddess of earth and everything that grows, goes into a deep period of mourning and her grief kills all the crops. Out of rage, or like she just plumb forgot because she was...
I like to think it's out of rage.
I like to think it's out of rage too, but like... If I was Demeter, I would literally just forget to make the grass grow.
Other things on your mind.
Listen, you have to prioritize.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So Hecate is the goddess of witchcraft. She leads Demeter through the underworld by the light of her torch to find her. Side note, Hecate is my favorite goddess and will have her own episode eventually. Anywho, after a little bit of a kerfuffle, Hades agrees to give Persephone back. But she has to split her time because she ate some pomegranate seeds while she was down there hanging out in hell with him. So after some cajoling, that's what
the compromise.
That's the compromise. So at Mabon, it is said that that is when she descends back into the underworld.
So that's the marker.
That's the marker, Mabon. And then she returns at Ostara and brings the spring with her.
Uh-huh.
So, to celebrate Mabon, practitioners may often pick apples, such a symbolic fruit across many religions, but in this case, the apple is a symbol of bounty and fertilization, and the promise that even though we're about to endure the coldest and darkest days, if we survive it or not, life returns to the earth through the seed and the magical blessings contained within it. Frequently, people use them to perform an apple ritual to give thanks to the harvest and the gods that provided it. People set up an altar with seasonal offerings. And lastly, and perhaps even more popular, people use the symbolism of equal parts night and day to center themselves and bring balance to inharmonious areas of their life. I like to think that Mabon or not, it is probably always a good practice to establish mindfulness and meditate on the areas of our life that need nurturing or forward growth or to plant new roots in like healthier daily habits, whether it's physical, mental. Any Sabbat would not be complete without a feast for family and friends. So make a Mabon stew, phone a friend, get some people over if you can, socially distance. And enjoy the bountiful blessings that you have. And if you make Mabon stew, post it on Insta and tag me in it because I want to see.
And also send us the recipes because there is nothing in this world that I love more than stew.
Taylor is a soup gal.
I love soup. You know the meme that is from Seinfeld that says, hold on, I am preparing for soup season. That is my favorite. And I will post it on the Instagram as well.
Well, you will be happy to know that I made Mabon stew last night. I put it on my Instagram and I have a bowl for you in the fridge. Ah! Mine is a beef and barley.
Oh.
So. But
I'm so excited.
I want to see what you guys. It's just like seasonal harvest vegetables and like a broth.
I made my chicken noodle soup the other day.
Oh, I fucking love your chicken noodle soup.
I love it too. And I make it so that I can have two servings the night that I make it because it's so good. And then I split it up and I have to keep myself from having it for lunch and dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's freaking good.
Every time I get ill, I'm like, Taylor, can I have some chicken noodle soup?
100% every time. And the freaking grocery store was out of chicken stock.
What?
Out.
Of chicken stock?
Of chicken stock. I had to buy... go happy ass over into the organic section and hope that they had it over there, which they did. But
thank God.
So I got it, but also I paid like $8 for organic chicken stock.
Do you know what? If we were smart, we would do?
Make our own?
Yes. Well, I have like 2 or 3 whole chickens in the freezer right now, just like waiting for a day.
Yeah.
So maybe we can cook them up and like take the carcass and make like our own bone broth.
That'd be cool.
And then you can save it and use it in your chicken noodle soup.
Yeah. That'd cool. be good.
It's a date.
Love it.
Anyway, I posted my stew on my Insta. You can go look at it. I'll see if Taylor will cross post it for me onto for sure. the pod Insta. So happy Mabon. Eat an apple. Have an orgy. Prepare yourself to be swallowed by the frigid and unforgiving void of winter that is looming over us. The end.
Amazing. Does Dionysus have connection to
Yes, Mabon? He does. He is a whole spinoff, and I try to keep this from being like 16 pages long.
All right.
I fucking love Dionysus.
I do too.
But the horns of plenty and the cornucopia and the bounty, because he is the god of hedonism.
Right.
And indulgence. So the mulled wine, the spices, all of that, the feast is in the name of Dionysus. And I know a lot of practicing witches will make a space for him on their altar for Mabon.
Love that.
Yeah.
Very cool. Good job.
Thanks.
I love a little history lesson. Okay. Can we turn on that lamp?
Yeah.
So I
might What? Have you want to read?
Yeah. I have bad eyes. They don't work. Oh, thank you. Okay. So, my sources are the Monstrum YouTube channel. I love her. I can't remember her name, but she does an amazing folklore cryptid YouTube channel.
Okay.
Highly recommend. National Geographic, Wikipedia, our friends over at ATWWD, or And That's Why We Drink, and the book itself that I'm going to talk about.
Ooh.
But first, I would like to read you a stanza from a small little poem that I found by Jack Prelutsky.
Ooh, excellent job on that.
Thank you. The Headless Horseman rides tonight through stark and starless skies, shattering the silence with his otherworldly cries. He races through the darkness on his alabaster steed. The Headless Horseman rides tonight, wherever fate would lead.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Okay, so I have to give myself a small disclaimer here. Jenny and my schedule just, it has been wild these past couple of weeks. So every time we get together, we're going to be like, okay, we're going to record two episodes tonight. Mm-hmm. And it ends up being one, and then it kind of gets shuffled around. So I had done this research a while ago, and then our friend M over at, and that's why we drink, did the Headless Horseman of Sleepy Hollow, that specific story, last week. So I did take some of their research, but I decided to make it a little bit more of a broad stance on the Headless Horseman, and I'm going to cover a little bit more of the folklore from other nations instead of just the Americanized version, although I will tell you about that.
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
Okay.
The only horror movie that, because my mom is such a sweet, sweet lady,
yes,
and she doesn't get down with this kind of stuff. But
she's not an ookie spooky.
No, she's not an ookie spooky, but when I was a kid, like 10 or 11... The Headless Horseman of Sleepy Hollow, mm-hmm, was a movie that's like a Lifetime made for TV. It's terrible.
Wait, what?
The movie?
Yeah.
The movie that we have, she like recorded from a VHS.
Was it it would have been 1999?
I don't know.
It have Johnny Depp in it?
I don't know.
Oh my heavens. Okay. If we're talking about the Johnny Depp version, it won an Oscar.
I don't think it was that.
Okay.
There's no way that the movie we watched won an Oscar.
It's got little baby Christina Ricci in it. She blonde?
No.
Okay.
No. This is not that. But it was the only horror movie that she would watch.
That's so cute. I love that. Because it's not super scary.
No. Little Ichabod Crane.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Tell me all about it. I can't wait.
So I want to talk about the origins of the legend of the Headless Horseman. There are a few different countries where we have stories of Headless Horsemen, but the one that you and I are most familiar with is the American version written by Washington Irving. Irving wrote a short story called The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, which was published in 1820.
Wow, this is old.
Yeah, it is. And listen, I am an avid reader. I love to read. So I downloaded it and I got probably a third of the way through, mm-hmm, but it is such detailed 1820s writing where the grammar isn't today's grammar. It's difficult to get through. It's very flowery. Mm-hmm. So I did not quite make it through. It's relatively short. I think it's only like 40 pages.
That's not bad.
So it is a short story. The Irving story paints the Headless Horseman as the headless Hessian of the Hollow.
Ooh.
And a Hessian is a German soldier who fought on the side of the British during the Revolutionary War. Unfortunately, one particular Hessian was unlucky enough to be completely decapitated by a cannonball during the Battle of the White Plains, which took place on October 26th, 1776.
Oh, that was a big year for America.
Yeah, it was an interesting year. I wonder if British would take us back.
No.
No? Okay.
No, the queen is like, you can have them.
Grandma, we made an error.
Please. Grandma, help us.
Help.
Can we come stay with you for December?
SOS. Okay. So the legend says that he was buried at the old Dutch church of Sleepy Hollow, but he would rise every night to search for his lost head. Since it was completely obliterated thanks to that cannonball, there was nothing to find.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
So that's why you see him using a pumpkin, a jack-o'-lantern, because it was close to Halloween, so everybody had their jack-o'-lanterns lit, and that's why you see him with a jack-o'-lantern pumpkin head.
I did not know. I wonder where that came from.
Facts.
Wow.
I know. Sidebar about Sleepy Hollow, and I was so fascinated by this. Irving invented the place for this short story, but a few communities in New England were completely obsessed with this story and kept claiming that he got the idea from their town.
What?
And there was a town called Tarrytown in New England. I think it's in Massachusetts. It might be Connecticut. I don't remember. But they actually legally changed their name to Sleepy Hollow in the 90s.
You're lying.
No. So the National Geographic thing that I watched said that like, welcome to Sleepy Hollow. Like, you see their little town sign. You see all of the things. And the, all of the school mascots are the Headless Horsemen. Like, this is the town I want to go to. If we can't go to Salem, we need to go to Sleepy Hollow.
I would love to.
Can you imagine growing up in a high school where your mascot is the Headless Horseman? With its little jack-o'-lantern. It's Halloween all the time.
Oh, my God.
I want to go.
The mascot would be so fun at games.
Oh, it's so fun. The town does a complete reenactment of the Legend of Sleepy Hollow every October.
I want to go. Oh, my God.
Okay. So you can go there, and they take it very seriously.
As they should.
Yes.
They changed their whole ass name.
I would love to have been on that council meeting. Like, a bunch of what normally look like stuffy old white guys, but truly in their heart of hearts fucking love Halloween.
Like, y'all want to make this spooky, though?
Yeah. Spooky forever.
Spooky forever.
Level. The Hessian's head is sometimes depicted as the pumpkin or the jack-o'-lantern, like I said. So they don't really know, other than like him looking for his head every night, like why he terrorizes the town.
He's mad.
Yeah, he's big mad.
He can't find his dang old junkin' noggin.
Yeah. He might have wanted to continue to scare the citizens of America, because that's who he was fighting against. But in the Washington Irving story, two men, Ichabod Crane and Brom Bones, fall in love with the same woman. Ichabod is like this gangly school teacher.
He's a little ding dong.
Yeah. And he ends up making his move on, I think her name is Katrina. I don't have it written down, but I'm pretty sure that's it. But he is rejected. And like any butthurt man, he goes out, gets a little hammered, and then rides his horse home through the woods. His horse's name is Gunpowder, and Gunpowder is a big old fatty scaredy cat and does not do well. In this adventure.
Poor punky boy.
He's chased down by a hooded figure, and the horseman hurdles his head at Ichabod, who tries to dodge it but fails.
Ooh.
He gets hit in the head and is thrown off his horse and falls into the dust. Then Ichabod completely vanishes. Only his hat and bits of broken pumpkin are left behind for the townspeople to find. The woman then marries Brom, since Ichabod is no more, and the townspeople believe that Ichabod had been carried away by the supernatural being, the Headless Hessian. However, there are older versions that we should talk about.
Oh my God. I'm enraptured by you right now.
I love this. It was so fun to research. So, the Irish have a grittier, scarier horseman called the Doolahan.
Ooh.
Some people believe that Washington Irving knew about the Doolahan before writing his short story because his parents were English and Scottish immigrants, so they would have been familiar with an Irish type of folklore.
Sure, sure.
The Doolahan is more of a warning than an actual physical danger. He won't kill you, although he might actually whip your eyeballs out, which I will get
to. What? Yes. Ew! How?
I'll tell you.
Okay.
Hold All on. Right.
He must be a real ace with that thing.
Uh-huh.
The original Dom. I'm sorry. It was
unnecessary. Totally warranted, though.
Okay.
So he's actually a dark fairy.
Oh, the Fae!
The Fae! Okay. Back again!
They never leave.
No. So if you see a Doolahan, this means that you or someone you love will die or suffer in some horrible way. So you do not want to see this. This is like a death omen.
Got it. He's like the Grim.
Mm-hmm. And the Doolahan can either be male or female.
Ooh.
Love that.
Love an androgynous Fae.
Absolutely. They normally carry their heads with them, whether they are under their arm being carried, or they keep them in the satchel on their horse, or sometimes they're just like floating along beside them.
Okay.
Head balloon. No, thank you.
Honestly.
Mm-mm. Unnecessary. In a lot of stories about the Doolahan, the horse is also headless.
Ooh.
Didn't like it.
There were
pictures involved with this. And because the horse's neck is so, like, wide, there were a lot of actual, like, artistic depictions of the muscles and the bone.
Oh, it got graphic.
It got a little graphic, and I was like,
that's a thick neck for not a noggin.
Yeah. So the Doolahan will sometimes drive a whole-ass death carriage.
Whoa.
Where he and all of his horses, in this scenario he has four horses, are headless. The wheels of the carriage are made with human bones. And the whip he carries is made out of a human spine.
Fuck. That's so metal. It's unnecessarily wild.
Yes.
I'm having, oh my God, you're going to murder me.
Oh God.
Harry Potter lore.
Oh, a thestral.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. I have seriously considered getting a thestral tattoo. It's still in my head.
I'm into it.
I like it. Put it we right see a lot of death for two people who are not quite 30 yet.
Yes. Taylor turns 30 tomorrow.
No, Saturday.
Well, oh, I guess.
I will be 30 by the time this comes out.
Yes. Too many timelines.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yucky.
Yeah.
It's fine. Okay, so, and that is what he will whip your eyes out with.
A human freaking spine?
Uh-huh.
Where did he get it?
I don't think you want the answer to that.
Do you have the answer to that?
No, but okay. I'm pretty sure he's taken it from people that have died around him. So when the Doulahan stops writing, he calls out a single name, and the person whose name that belongs to immediately drops dead.
Fuck.
Right.
It's like that Irish Grim Reaper if he was in like a metal cover band.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Uber scary.
Uber scary.
All right, so let's move on to Scotland.
I'm ranking Ireland at the bottom of my list. He's my least favorite headless horseman right now.
I like him. He means business.
Yeah. Whoa. Okay.
Okay, so there are two most cited incidents in Scotland, and both events are similar in nature. So from what I looked desperately for some kind of historical fact to tie this to, but at the end of the day, it is still lore. I wasn't able to find this event, although I was able to find the location of the event.
Okay.
So, a man is walking along a road at night and is attacked by the headless horseman. He is able to fend off the horseman by holding on to a sapling tree. The struggle goes on all night, and when the sun comes up, the horseman vanishes. It happens twice, and there are two trees that grow horizontally from being pulled on when they were saplings. The legend starts in the 16th century in Glenmore, which is a beautiful alley that cuts across the Isle of Mull from east to west.
Oh.
A man named Ewan, not my Ewan McGregor, sadly, lived there with his wife, who was painted as a black swan-type character. She was never happy with her existence and always wanted more.
Okay.
Ewan went to his father and petitioned for more land for his wife, and his father refused. Ewan said that if he had to, he would take the land by force, but his dad called his bluff.
Ugh.
This resulted in an armed confrontation between father and son and their respective followers. This would be like a planned outing duel type of a situation and not like guerrilla-style war tactic.
Like, we'll meet on the hill at high noon.
Yeah, they're not nilly-willy with their duels.
Okay.
The night before the fight, Ewan is riding home when he comes across a fairy. And she tells him that she can tell the future and tells Ewan that if in the morning there is butter on the table without him having to ask for it, the fight will go in his way. If he has to ask the servant for butter, he will lose. When he sits down for his next meal, he had to ask the servant to bring him the butter, and he remembered the fairy's warning. With a sense of foreboding, Ewan met his father at the fighting grounds and found that he would also be fighting against his uncle. While the fight went on for a while in a back and forth, soon the father and uncle got the upper hand. Ewan, seeing that his men were being slain, he ran into the worst part of the fighting and had his head cut clean off.
Oh.
This brought an end to the fight, and now Ewan rides along the road looking for men who are related to his father and uncle to scare the ever-loving daylights out of. So that's Scotland.
Okay, I like that one.
All right, English. And it's going to tie into your story so well, because we're about to talk about King Arthur.
Oh, we are?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
So there is a tale called Gawain and the Green Knight, which takes place in the 14th century in the time of King Arthur.
This is my favorite King Arthur tale.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, okay.
All right. I hope I did it justice. I had to cut it down quite a bit.
So there's a book called The Squire that I had to read in school, and it is still to this day one of my favorite books, but it is about, it's so good.
Okay. I will add it to my list. One night, King Arthur and his knights are celebrating the beginning of the new year. They're drinking and eating and have a jolly old time when a stranger walks in. The stranger is dressed in all green and is riding a green horse. He has no armor and has brought a bow of holly in one hand and an axe in another. He says that he has a challenge for the knights. He wants one of them to strike him once on the ground, in the grounds, that he gets to come back and return the blow 1 year and 1 day later. The room goes silent until Arthur's nephew, Gawain, steps up. Gawain strikes the Green Knight once and decapitates the knight in one swoop.
Woo.
However, the knight does not fall or falter, but bends down and picks up his head, and while holding his head, he reminds Gawain that he must meet him in 12 months at the Green Chapel to be repaid. A year goes by, and because Gawain is a man of his word and doesn't want to be branded a coward, and that is that on toxic masculinity.
It's okay to say no.
No, thank you.
No, thanks.
He leaves a few days early and goes to meet the Green Knight. He finds a castle close by to where he thinks that he should be going and meets the Lord and his wife there. The Lord says that they are very close to the chapel and that Gawain should stay with him for a few days so that he can rest before the meeting, and Gawain agrees. For 3 days, he stays with the Lord and his wife. Every morning, the Lord goes out to hunt, and every morning, the wife comes to Gawain and tries to seduce him. The first of two mornings, Gawain is polite, but the first two mornings, Gawain is polite, refuses. The third morning, however, he is more firm, and she offers him a gift instead, a green belt that she says is charmed for protection. On the day of the meeting, Gawain goes out to the chapel and meets the Green Knight, who turns out to be none other than the Lord himself. Because Gawain showed loyalty and honor by not banging his wife, he does not decapitate Gawain, but gives him a shallow flesh wound for taking the belt. The end. So, I just wanted to know, like, what's the lesson in that story? Like,
what's the lesson of the fucking salmon? And the boar, what,
there's no rhyme or reason.
No.
So as a whole, some of the lessons from the Headless Horseman tales can be, in the case of Ichabod, it can be a metaphor for not getting too drunk and losing your head, literally.
Oh.
I think it is a good case for stay out of the woods. Historians think that people had a fascination with decapitation because it was used so widely as a punishment. And Catholics came into Ireland and were total fucking dicks and started decapitating everyone left, right, and center. And there was a lot of paintings of the decapitation. So there's a lot of history there. But that is the story of the Headless Horseman.
That was excellent. Thank you so much.
So fun.
Oh my
God. So fresh. So new.
Ireland is still at the bottom of the list. Unnecessarily vile. So vile.
Oh, so metal. He was just like, I'm a rock star. Leave me alone.
I just imagine, what is that? Lord of the Rings, dude. Oh my God. William will murder me. They trot around. They go, Nazgul. Is that it?
I don't fucking know. All I know is orcs.
Orcs?
Those big giant
things. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, William is going to send me a shitty message and be like, I can't believe that
William, we love you.
Sorry,
I do have a Lord of the Rings tale for you, though, really quickly that we can end on because it's very funny.
Okay.
So everybody knows our girl Abby. So she was obsessed with the Lord of the Rings movies, and I liked them, okay? They were fine, but... I went on all of their family vacations with them. It was just like an unspoken rule, like we're going on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Somebody call Taylor.
Yeah. They had a TV and VCR like set up somehow, some way in the van. So we could watch movies when we were on our way.
Wow. On a whole different level.
Yeah, a whole different level. And it wasn't like, you know, the vans that have like the fold-down TVs?
This is not that.
No, it was straight up a TV that they like shoved in between.
That they plugged into the cigarette lighter.
Yes! Yes. Oh, fire hazards. So many fire hazards.
I'm surprised that didn't like blow the battery.
I honestly don't know how they did it. But
different times.
Yeah. So we knew we had about a 9-hour, 10-hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
And this was at the very beginning of me and Abby's sister, Allie, becoming best friends because Allie is 2 years older than us.
Mm-hmm.
And Abby and I must have been 13, 14. And Abby was bebopping around the house like, Lord of the Rings movie marathon! And Allie and I were like, we just don't want to sit through Lord of the Rings for 10 hours. That doesn't sound like a good time. I would rather watch Mean Girls.
Ah!
And so And this is so mean. And Abby found out about it later, so she's not finding out about it right now, but she's still salty about it. So Abby went and got all the movies, put them in the van. And Abby, it, love you so much, babe, but you're dingling. And so we are like getting ready to go, packing up. Abby's like, oh, I forgot something. And Allie and I saw our opportunity and we took all the movies and put them back inside. And about half an hour down the road, we're like, all right, let's put in a movie. And Abby's like, yes, Lord of the Rings, number one. And she cannot find the movies anywhere.
Because they're so mean.
And I was like, Ab, you must have forgotten them. Like, did you grab them? They were on the counter. And she was like, I know, they're here. And I was like, babe, they're not here.
They're not here, honey.
Guess we're watching something else.
Rats. So looking forward to Lord of the Rings.
I think she found out what actually happened probably like when we were in college.
Oh, wow.
And she was like, I hate all of you.
I cannot believe that is so. I know Allie dreamed up that plot. That is an Allie. It's got Allie written all over that.
100%.
That's so amazing.
Yeah, that's my Lord of the Rings story.
Very cool. Is that your bright and shiny?
I had a different bright and shiny.
Okay, what's your bright and shiny?
Okay, so Apple released a new iOS where you can customize your home screen, and I customized my home screen like an actual psycho, and it is now fall themed, and it's beautiful with widgets and stuff.
I cannot roll my eyes hard enough.
Did you want to see it?
I do.
It's really cute.
You did send me screenshots, but I'd like to see it again.
Oh, I did. See? And then I did another one. It's this Hello Pumpkin.
It's very cute.
Thank you. Look, that's my bright and shiny.
iPhone users just now waking up to like widgets and customizable home screens. And
listen, I had a Samsung for a while, so I was woke to this situation a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the thing that I was sad about when I went back to Apple.
Mm-hmm.
And but this, like, I legitimately had to create each and every one of these icons on Canva and upload them.
Oh God.
And
you
when
did a
I,
lot of work.
When I tell you that this took like 4 hours. I just need us to move on from it.
Okay.
All right. What's your a little bit good, your bright and shiny?
I have one.
Is it gone?
Yeah. Because we're just living in the dark. I don't know. I have a new book that I am reading. It is Italian Folk Magic.
Ooh, fun.
It is so amazing.
Is it?
It's such a good book.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's going to be my bright shiny.
I love that.
Any book that makes me like dog ear corners and like highlight sections is a good book.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. I am a big fan of like loving your books and reading them and dog earing them and loving them. I know that there are a lot of readers out there who think that is complete blasphemy. But if you don't love your books hard,
then
why have them?
Right.
Like, I understand if you're borrowing it or if you, like, took it from the library. Like, yeah, sure, you should probably return that in the condition that you bought it. But if it's yours, then love it hard.
If somebody pulls a book off their bookshelf and they're like, oh, my God, this book is amazing. You have to read it. And it is not, like, a corner is wet because you dropped it in the bathtub or a corner's not dark. Like, I'm not reading that book.
Yeah.
You didn't like that book.
I have a book that I lent one of my friends, and she loves to read by the pool. And it was like a really hot and humid day and she was reading in the pool. And so half of the corners are like warped because they got too close to water.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'll buy you a new one. And I was like, oh my God, no. Like, you added to the story of this book.
Yeah.
My third Harry Potter book is legitimately falling apart. Like, my spine has completely separated from the rest of the pages, but it's my original. It's my first edition.
My Goblet of Fire is like that.
Love
it so much.
All right, go find us on the social medias. We're on Facebook. We have a Facebook group. We're on Instagram. We already have Twitter. We have an email address if you would like to send us your oogie spooky story.
Please
do. Or your true crime story. Or your a little bit good. We will include those in our grab bag episode, which is the first Tuesday of every month.
Yep. Hashtag your bright shinies.
Hashtag bright shiny. Hashtag don't fret.
And
keep going.
There you go.
That's on what we
keeping
do.
On.
Keep going.
Keep going.
All right, friends. We will talk at you soon.
Goodbye.